Hello everyone, 안녕하십니까 여러분. Welcome back to the Machinette podcast.
Welcome. Two parents here first, and then I'm gonna get back to two parents in just a second. Oh, there you go. Two father and two mother kissing each other. If you're watching on YouTube, two mother and two father got in a picture for you guys. So welcome to the Machinette podcast, folks. Thank you so much for being here. I wanted to give a special shout out to a few stellar, awesome brothers that reached out to me after the last episode that I did on how to get out of low times. I specifically asked some of y'all to reach out to me and let me know that you listened and that you benefited from it so that I can have the, so I can feed my insecurity and know that I'm actually making a difference in people's lives. No, I'm kidding. I really do really genuinely appreciate hearing from you guys. So if you want to reach out to me just to share, you know, how your matching process is going, your journey, then you can, I'll give you my email address soon enough at the end of this episode, and then you can email me, just let me know you got something, and I would appreciate having some give and take with you, because I like to make myself available to anyone that is really serious about life and wants to take action and crush it with faith in God and enjoy everything in the process. So yeah, shout out to you guys. Please let me know if you guys dig this episode. It's about community. I'm going to give you a really funny fact about this episode. I 100%, without exaggeration, laid out this entire episode in a dream I had, all right? This is straight from a dream. I was having a dream and I was talking with somebody, some dude, and he was like, yeah, I love the podcast in my dream. And he's like, could you make an episode about community? Because I'm struggling to figure out where to live, right? And it's such an important thing for people to figure out is where to live. And then in my dream, I took out my phone and my notes app, and I wrote down all the points that I'm going to verbatim give to you in this order, right? And I don't know how I do this, but I do this sometimes, especially when I'm giving sermons. Like the day before I give the sermon on Sunday, I will have, I will go through the entire presentation of my sermon in my dream, and then I'll be ready for it the next day. Either it's a gift or it's a curse. I don't know. But let's do that. So this episode in particular, guys, I know community is going to, this is going to be super helpful and tactical for you guys and gals who are going to be blessed soon or someday, and you are going to figure out where to live, and you're going to have to figure out which community to be a part of and how to create an environment for your family. It is something that everyone without question, and we'll talk about this in a second, from big tech to individuals, to members, to non-members, to everyone on the planet is looking for their community and their people, right? It's something that I've personally, you know, with a family of five, have thought a lot about, a tremendous about, and I have come to the fervent conclusion that I am perfectly happy where we are living right now in good old North Carolina. That is not a shout out to North Carolina. I don't want you guys moving to North Carolina, just for the record. I like how quiet and simple it is, and it's like a hidden gem. It's a hidden gem of America. So when I travel to workshops and such, there was an experience over the last year when I went to multiple different workshops, and I was talking with a bunch of the couples and the families. It was shocking to me how many people brought up the same subject with me. They're like, oh, Benji, where do you live? Oh, North Carolina, how's the community over there? And I kept getting the same questions. And I was interested in this, so I asked a few of them. I was like, what? Like, why is everyone talking about community? Like, what is going on? And I realized that the idea of where to live, physically, where to put yourself and relocate yourself, your couple, your individual, your family, is something that consumes so much, a tremendous amount of the headspace and real estate of people, to the point where wherever they're going, they're always in the back of their mind saying like, oh, is the grass greener on this side of the world? Oh, is the grass greener over there? And it feels wrong. And I didn't know why, but every time I was having this conversation, something in my like conscience was like flaring up. And I was like, something feels wrong about this. But I kind of just let it go, because like, well, it's good to search for community and it's really important. Yes, it's important at times. But people are becoming obsessive over this. People are moving left and right every few years to a different place, because guess what? The grass is always greener on the other side. In comparison, is the death of enjoyment, right? But also, comparison can be the friend and the ally of enjoyment. So I'm going to leave you guys with this episode at the end of it with the conclusion that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't. And I know when I say that, I'll be like, oh, but it, no. I'm going to explain why, okay? Let me give you the conclusion. It doesn't matter where you live. And I'm explain why. And I hope you can come to that same conclusion, all right? It matters at times, yes. But overall, doesn't really matter. Okay, so everyone is looking for community. How do we know this? Let's look at from a very broad perspective. Big tech. How many companies are out there have the mission of connecting the world through the internet? Let's take Meta, for example. Meta's actual mission statement is to give people, this is a quote, to give people the power to build community and bring the world closer together. Sounds great. Sounds like a great initiative. But if you consider the fact that a massive amount of people spend an egregious amount of time and attention, hours a day, it's now 4 hours a day on average, on the internet, and most of that, a lot of the time is on, guess what? Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, all from the same company, right? Of course it's useful. Of course it is. But to say that your mission is to connect the world and have us fooled to believe that we're more connected after spending time online is ludicrous. Because you can't compare spending an hour on Instagram or any platform at all. I'm not just picking on Meta, by the way. Or versus spending an hour of genuine connection with a human being or a group of people. It's night and day. You can't compare that, all right? So what I'm saying is every realm of life, people are trying to look for community. And Meta is trying to feed this deep-seated need and desire for people to have community. And then we get to our faith members, right? Case in point, how many times have you guys thought about this yourself? Or traveled around, went to different communities, were like, oh, I should live here. And how many conversations you've had about community and where is the action happening? Which community should we live in? And I realized that our members are conflating two things, which means they're merging the definition of two things. They're conflating community and living location. They don't have to be conflated. They don't have to be the same thing. And that's where people are getting tripped up. And I'm not saying, by the way, it's not a good thing at times to look for your community, but there comes a certain point where you make a decision like, this is my community and I'm going to make it work. I'm going to make these my people. To the same degree, if you're choosing a spouse, you choose your spouse, you commit, and you say, this is going to be my marriage and I'm going to make it work no matter what. All right. I'm going to just invest in this everything I can. And most of my attention is going to be, how do I make this thing better? Instead of, oh, is there someone else out there? Of course, you want to make your community better. Of course, you want to find the right community. But if you're spending so much time thinking about where else I should live in the world, guess what? You have no headspace left to focus on living where you are. You have no headspace to focus on building the marriage that you're currently in, the relationship you're currently in, if you're spending a horrendous amount of time and attention thinking about other women or watching porn or spending time online, comparing everything to everyone, all right? It's a headspace allocation thing. It's a resource allocation thing. And why I'm saying this is because there is a time and place to focus on where to live and you decide, and then you live there until it doesn't make sense anymore to live there. But it's such a waste, an unfortunate waste of our community's collective headspace and attention just to say, oh, like, let's find the right community and everybody move to Denver. I know I keep bashing on Denver. Everybody move to Denver. Everybody move to Columbus. Everybody move to Las Vegas. I'm in North Carolina, guys. Every time I come back to North Carolina from these communities, I'm like, that was nice. That's a nice community. I really love North Carolina. I'm going to stay here until it doesn't make sense anymore. All right. Okay. So we're conflating community and living place, and it doesn't have to be a thing. We're going to define in this episode, what is community? Because I've thought a lot about this, right? So who's right? We've got big tech. We've got broad market, you know, connect the world through the internet. Let's give our kids phones because it's good for them, because it helps them connect with the world. And then there's our community, our faith community, that's thinking, well, I can only really experience community by moving physically to a location where there are other church members in the area within 15 minutes drive, right? And if I have to drive more than 30 minutes, it's not part of quote unquote a community. It's ludicrous. It's ludicrous to think that we can't build a community wherever we are. So who's right? We're not seeing the whole picture. They're both right. And they're both wrong. It's not the whole picture. So I prepared all these points that you're going to hear right now in my dream. The first point that I wrote down in my dream is, why is community important? Why is it important? Let's ask True Father. What does True Father say? I'll give the quotes in a second. True Father and True Mother. What does True Father say? Channel Gluck starts with me. It starts with the individual, because peace starts with the individual and expands to the couple, to the family, to the community, to the nation and the world. That is fundamentally how Chonagok is built. And community, a group of individuals, is the building block for establishing that Chonagok. All right? That's why it's important. I don't think I have to make a case for you guys to convince you that community is important. Everyone will agree with this, right? Okay. What I'm saying is that maybe there's a way we're thinking about community that's not helpful and it's actually more destructive. That's why I'm bringing this up. And that's why I'm so passionate about it. I was thinking about this. Why do I care? Why am I so passionate about this when people are spending their time looking for community? I think it's because I care. The reason is because I care so much. You know, like I'm raising a family in the world, like all their other families are. And I've thought a lot about this, a lot, right? And so if I can offer some kind of peace of mind or perspective that has helped me tremendously, then I'm going to offer it and I'm going to do it passionately because that's the kind of person I am. Unending fire. All right. Okay, so what are the elements? This is the next part of my dream. I hope you guys dig this. This is crazy. The next part of my dream is I wrote down, what are the required elements for a living location of where you live, all right? Let's break this down. Bare essentials, okay? Number one, food and water. Yeah, I literally meant bare essentials. Number one, food and water. You could say food, I guess, because water is in many foods. You could just eat like watermelon all day and be perfectly fine. That is official health advice from Uncle Benji's. Just eat watermelon and no water. Okay. You know those like YouTube videos where like, this is not financial advice. This is not health advice. This is 100% health advice, guys. All right. Because I don't care about being sued or whatever. The second thing that's required for a community or a place to live is people. Why? Because people equals love and connection. If you don't have people, you die. You can survive a little bit, but your lineage dies, literally, if you don't have people, if you don't have love, if you don't have connection. So that's the second element. And the third element of a required place to live is a way to make money. A way to make money, assuming that you're not a farmer, but I'm assuming that you guys are not farmers or going to be farmers. So you need a way to have cash, all right? Now that gets tricky because people don't really know what it means to make money. They don't know how much money they need, all right? But you need a way to pay for food and water and shelter. Well, you don't really need shelter. You could live outside technically, but you get my point. The bare essentials. The thing is that people in our world, let's take our church member community, for example, people will generally move to the physical location that they can most easily access food, people, or money. All right. People, for example, will move to big cities like New York City for the sake of making money, and they don't know anybody there, but they go there for money. Sometimes people move to locations because of the people, because they have grandparents, they have relatives, or they just have a lot of people in our faith community that they know. People usually don't move in third world or in first world countries to places that have food and water. So assuming you're not in a third world country, that's probably not your number one priority is finding food and water. All right. So with that said, guys, is it possible for anyone to experience life and thriving love, making money and food and water in any location in the planet? Of course. Of course. If everybody moved to Denver, we would not survive. Nothing would get done. The world would not go around. If everyone moved to Las Vegas, it wouldn't go around. I don't know where the other hotspots around the world are, but I live in America. So those are like the, I'm going to move to Denver because that's where the action is happening. Great. I love Denver, but it's not for me. Okay. Okay. So let's make a definition based on those factors. All right. For you guys, especially that are considering a location or a way to feel love and connection and peace of mind. Like I have my people. That's ultimately what we're looking for, guys, is we're looking for your people. Like, It's egregious how many people you talk to that are just like, I don't have anybody I know. There's nobody in my area. There's no one I connect with that I can relate with, that I have any short shared interest or shared mission with. How many people are like that? It is horrendous to think about. It's gratuitous. And this is going to be a solution for you guys. It's right here. This is the best definition I could come out of with these parameters. Community is a group of people who have give and take around a shared mission or interest on a regular basis. A community is a group of people who have give and take around a shared mission or interest on a regular basis. Ooh, with that definition, things get interesting. Let's take some examples. There's this well-known camp that I went to for the first time this year. It's called Camp Chautauqua. What is Camp Chautauqua? It is a camp of families, a lot of young families coming together once a year for a whole week of just camping out in the boondocks, out in the woods, in the mountains, and having a good time learning about faith, doing Sunday school and playing sports and going swimming, playing volleyball, all that stuff just for fun. And what I noticed is that this group of people meets once a year All right. I camp Chautauqua, and it is one of the strongest and most thriving communities that I've ever been a part of, that have volunteers that are passionately involved in running this camp every year. So is a community that meets once a year for a week that never interacts with each other, by the way, throughout the year. It's not like they're having Zoom calls every week throughout the year and they have a group chat. They meet together once a year for a week with their kids. All the kids know each other. The parents all hang out, right? I was there this year and I was meeting all these new friends and tons of people that I knew from before. Is this a community? Absolutely. 100%. So when I say meeting around a common shared mission or interest on a regular basis, it can look as minimal as that. So for us, Camp Chautauqua, the shared mission part is important because it's a shared mission in raising good children. That's our shared mission. And then the shared interest part is interesting because it's faith. Our shared interest is faith and growing our faith. And so we have a shared mission and a shared interest, which is kind of a winner. A different example would be my group of people, guys I play volleyball with occasionally. We play beach volleyball here in North Carolina. And there are a bunch of individuals that on the mission side, I have nothing in common with them. They're not, you know, they're mostly, you know, second gen that are kind of jaded and don't come to church, never interested in talking about church. I'm the only one that goes to church and does all this stuff. But I hang out with them and play volleyball. Why? Because we have a shared interest, not a shared mission. We have a shared interest with, which is volleyball. Very cool. So that's another example of a community that can meet regularly. And then another example from my life. So in North Carolina, I have only two families I hang out with. Two. There's two families I hang out with. And the reason I hang out with them and I prioritize spending time with them is because we have both mission and interest aligned. Our mission is we're raising kids, right? Our interest is that we're both interested in faith, particularly our faith and raising our children in faith. So it's a high incentive for me to spend time with them in that community. And then when I'm with them, I feel like I'm home. I feel like I'm at peace with life, and I feel like I'm where I'm supposed to be. Like, this is my group of people, right? And then we get to my other part of my community is my parents. Now, people might not consider their parents part of the community, but I do because we have a shared mission. And my shared mission with my parents is lineage. It's related to raising my children and their grandchildren in a good environment. And that's why we stick together. That's why they live 30 minutes away from us. And we see them two or three times a week and we go to church together with them because we have a shared mission of raising good, wise children together. All right. And expanding lineage. And then there's my church community, which is another part of my community, which is I go there for the mission part. It's not so much the interest part, because a lot of the people that go there are like into politics, and I'm not like, they talk about politics and game, like board games. They're really bored. I have no interest in board games or politics, but there's a shared mission part, which is what? Building Chautauqua. And sometimes when people ask me, like, oh, you're coming to church every Sunday, or as many as I can, why are you coming to church? No, I do go to Sunday every church. I do go to church every Sunday. I'm not going to downplay that. I go to church every Sunday, and they ask me why. It's like, well, I love being around people that are also trying to build Chautauqua, that are hopeful in that vision, that dream, and are not just going to get busy with life and hustling and making money, saying, I don't have time to go to church on Sunday because I'm working on Sunday morning. No, never me. Okay. And then we got my final community is my High Noon community. This is my community because we have a shared mission. And that mission is creating thriving, blessed families and blessings through sexual integrity, training, and education. So that's my community. So if you look at this list of people that in my life that I interact with regularly, it's like Camp Chautauqua once a year. Actually, we only went once, but hopefully every year. There's two families in North Carolina. There's my parents, which is two people. There's my volleyball group, which is like four or five people total. And there's my church community every Sunday. And then there's my High Noon community as well, right? So it's small. And what you'll notice is that my community is not conflated with my physical location. There's actually only a handful. Let's see, one, two. There's less than 10 people in my entire like local community that I regularly meet up and have meaningful give and take about things that I'm interested in or we have a shared mission around. So this is the last part of this equation that I came up with in my dream, or God's dream. I don't know. Maybe it was an ancestral dream. I have no idea where this stuff comes from. You tell me. And that is, let me remind myself to give you my email later if you guys want to email me. I'm just going to put that here so I don't forget. how do you create a community wherever you are? All right. I hope by now you can understand that it's okay to seek out community, to figure out where do I want to live? But we can't let our peace of mind and our headspace be consumed by the grass is always greener on the other side. We can't. And if you can do that, it's like, who says you're not going to do that in your marriage when you decide to get blessed to this person? Who says you're not going to be looking around constantly? But when you have that decision, and people that are matched know this, when you finally, after the years of thinking about it, praying about it, doing conditions about it, looking for someone, finally find that person, the feeling is, oh my gosh, what a relief. I don't have to think about this anymore. I can just, focus. Focus. That's the key. You focus on where you are right now, what you have right now, and a little bit of energy can go towards maybe I'll move somewhere else eventually when it makes sense, but I'm not going to think about that until it feels right, until that I cross that bridge. But if you're always like, oh, I look on Instagram, oh, this place looks nice. North Carolina sounds great. Benji said North Carolina is awesome. I'm thinking I'm going to move there. Don't. Don't move to North Carolina. Stay where you are, guys. Please, we're going to stay. And make the community wherever you are. So this might be helpful for you guys, is the difference between wide community and deep community. I think many times people are focusing on wide community, which is having more people. I would argue that deep community is more so what people need than wide community. Maybe ancestrally speaking, historically, we've needed wide community because that's how we survived. We needed more people. We needed a village wise person. We need the village priest. We need the village idiot to make fun of. We need the, I don't know, every type of person. We needed a wide community to cover every aspect of life. But now we're living in Chernobyl, my friends, where we can focus and we can have deep relationships with a few intentional people. And if people enter our world and our community later on, then we go deep with them. But we don't need to focus too much. I think most people, it depends on case by case on your situation. Most people would benefit more from going deep with your parents, going deep with your spouse, going deep with yourself, with God, going deep with your best friend that you grew up with, going deep with your small group, going deep with your CARP brothers or sisters, or going deep with your GPA team, whatever it is. Like, go deep with those people, and the wide stuff will come over time. You know, we don't need 100 people. Here, I'll give you a quick story on this. I was living in New Jersey. I love New Jersey because there's a lot of people I know there. There's really close friends that I have there, like Milhan, Sungkook, Layton. There's a few guys that I was like, I love these people. I really do. The problem is that in New Jersey, there's like a dozen different churches in that area. And so we were having this situation. We're living in New Jersey and we had to decide every Sunday, like, oh, do we go to KA this Sunday? Because that was our like main church. Do we go to Clifton? Should we go to Elizabeth? Should we go to Manhattan? Should we go to Belvedere? And there's like overwhelming amount of decisions. And what happens is that I didn't see people. I met like my really close friends like every 6 months or something like that. And so my experience, from my perception, was that like I would much rather have a few close people that I can go deep with than a bunch of people that I kind of see occasionally. That's how my preference. And that's why we moved to North Carolina. After living in New Jersey for 4 years, I was like, I'm going back home to my hometown, North Carolina, and I'm just going to go deep with the people there. And so for me, it makes more sense to go deeper than wider. And so, okay, so this is my a bit of advice for you guys who are wanting to create community. Find your people. Like, find people who you can have give and take around a shared mission or interest on a regular basis, okay? That's your community. And just focus on that. Just focus. And importantly, make peace with that. This is why I'm making this whole episode. It's like, make peace with your decision to just focus on what you have decided. And I've talked about this concept before that I've invented. I've never heard someone talk about this. The difference between clarity and certainty. We want certainty many times because humans want permanence. We want certainty. We want to have a permanent decision. Like, this is absolutely going to happen. The reality is that you can never have certainty because life is uncertain. Life is uncertain. There's no guarantee that if you decide to move here or you decide to marry this person, get blessed with that person, that it's going to work out. There's no guarantee, right? Are you with me? There's a guarantee that you can do your best, that you can control, that you can do. There's no guarantee that things will go exactly as you plan, right? There's no guarantee that if you get blessed, that you're going to move to your spouse's country or your own country. There's no guarantee. There's no certainty in life. However, this is where clarity comes into place. You can have clarity with your decision. Okay, the best example I can give of this is if I offered you guys right now I have a blue Lamborghini and a red Lamborghini. Which one do you want? All right. Which one do you want? If I offered you a blue Lamborghini and a Toyota Corolla that's run down and 30 years old, which one would you choose? Probably, I mean, unless you're a little weird, you would probably choose the Lamborghini over the Toyota because it's a clear decision. It's a certain decision. It's certainly more expensive. You can certainly sell it if you don't want the car for more hundreds of thousands of dollars, right? But in the example of the red Lambo or blue Lambo, they're both the same, okay? They're both identical. One is red and one is blue. They both perform and drive exactly the same. Which one do you choose? And if you're very analytical and two in your head, you're going to go, oh, well, I would look at the price of the blue one on the market and then the red one, I'll try to get the best quote. It's like, no, you have to decide right now. Which one do you want, red or blue? Okay? In your mind, answer this out loud. Which one would you choose if you had exactly the same thing? They both worked fine, but one is red and one is blue. Which one would you choose? Answer. Okay? What's your answer? I would choose red. Importantly, why? Why would you choose the color that you choose? Because it's what you want. It's just a clear decision. It's clear to you. It's like, I just want the right decision. So this is what I mean by clarity. You can have clarity about uncertain decisions in your life. Who to marry, where to live. You just decide, I'm going to be clear. Like, this is what I'm deciding. And by the way, a nice life hack on this is that you don't have to have absolute clarity about yes or no about this particular thing right now. For example, let's say you're in a matching process and you want to be clear. And you want to make a decision about to move forward or to not move forward, to go to the blessing or to not go to the blessing. You're looking for certainty. It's like a sign from the universe, a dream, Uncle Benji to tell me what to do or something, whatever it is. But you can have clarity, which can look like I'm just going to decide yes or no, which I don't usually recommend. I think it needs more conversation before you can have that clear decision. But what you could be clear about is, okay, I'm going to, for the next 3 weeks, 21 days, I'm going to every day do a prayer condition. I'm going to talk to my parents every day, every night, and I'm going to write a report to my matching partner every day for the next 21 days about how I'm feeling internally. And I'm going to pray really hard. And then after 21 days, I'm going to make a decision, a firm decision. That is a clear decision that doesn't result in a black and white, like this option or this option, fork in the road type of situation. You can just be clear that I'm going to for the next 6 months, work on my sexual integrity to beat porn and masturbation completely for my life. And I'm just going to focus on that for 6 months. And then after that, I'm going to start a matching process and I'm just going to stop delaying this stuff. That's a clear decision, right? So you can't chase certainty in your life anymore because nothing is certain. You have to be clear about what you want. And what happens is when you have clarity, then you have peace of mind, which means you don't think about it anymore. You just decide like, okay, I'm going to focus on this part of a matching process. And you don't think about it. I'm doing a condition for 21 days. I'm just going to do that. And I don't have to think about the matching process because I'm clear about what I'm doing. And the reason you're feeling overwhelmed and stressed and unclear and uncertain is because there's all this excess baggage and voices and conversations and dialogue in your head that's saying, oh, you should do that. You should do that. You should do that. You're not doing this good enough. You're not doing that. You should do that. You should do that. You got to make more money. You got to move to that location. You got to move to elsewhere. You got to find a new spouse. You got to make a decision about your matching process. You got to do all the stuff, right? But you just list it all out and be like, okay, what are the big decisions in my life? And then just say, okay, this, I'm going to decide. I'm deciding this to be clear to do this about this, this about this. And then you'd be like, oh, I have nothing to do. I've got nothing to do with my life anymore, except just enjoy the present moment and live life and experience God everywhere around me. It's beautiful. Okay. So I do recommend doing that type of thing so that you can make peace with where you guys are and what your community is and just decide these are my people. I'm going to focus all my attention on just making this the best dang community that exists for me. And if at some point I need to move somewhere else, if I cross that bridge ever, then I'll consider it. But I'm not going to think about it anymore because I'm going to make community right here where I am. I got some quotes from True Parents here. The Bible says, "For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them." Matthew 18:20. Where there are two or three, interesting. I actually always thought this was three or more gathered in my name. I am there. It's two or three. What does that mean? It means that you can have a community with your best friend that you call once a month on the phone that lives 3,000 miles away. This means you can have a community with your parents. This means you can have a community with your spouse. right? And I don't recommend just having a community with your spouse or your dog, for goodness sake, but at least you can start there and be like, okay, this is my group of people. And what's interesting is that you can start to have them align with each other, maybe like spend time with each other and kind of have a more shared interest and vision with each other. I think that's pretty exciting. All right, so we got our quotes from Truth Parents, and then I'm going to give you guys a closing contact for me if you want to message me. You might not. That's cool. Here we go. True father, true mother. Let's start with true mother. True mother, true mother, where's my community? Quote, gratitude begins, quote, gratitude brings about heavenly fortune. Forgiveness opens people's minds and love moves people's hearts. Let us all be grateful for everything. Forgive our enemies, love our neighbors as we love ourselves, and work in oneness for peace. I think that's beautiful. Gratitude brings about heavenly fortune. Forgiveness opens people's minds and love moves people's hearts. This is, she gave on a world tour she did in 1993. Ladies and gentlemen, if a family is not centered on God's ideal of love, there will be conflict among the members of that family. Without God's love as an absolute center, such a family will ultimately break down. Moreover, a nation of such families will also decline, because illicit self-centered love invaded the first family. Selfishness and greed have continued to dominate human history, from the individual to the family, society, nation, and world. For this reason, God's work of restoration begins at the individual level. Since Satan knows this, he focuses his efforts on the individual level. Quote from True Father. I thought this was brilliant. Ready? True Father says, the 21st century shall be a century of righteousness. It will be a century of spirit and soul, when wealth will not be the dominating factor. It will be a century when God and human beings live together as one. A new awareness will come to every person. Living for the sake of others has eternal value, far greater than living for oneself. In the 21st century, selfishness will decline. The altruistic values of independence, mutual prosperity, and universally shared values will be triumphant. True Father in 1991, August 28, 1991. So what do you guys feel when you hear these words from True Father and True Mother? What do you feel when Mother talks about illicit self-centered love in the individual level? What do you feel when she emphasizes the importance of gratitude? Go and check out the last episode that we did here on the podcast that was all about gratitude. Mother talks so much about gratitude. Let me know if you guys have dug this episode. I want to let you guys send me an email. Do so only if you, if you are someone that has benefited from the podcast and wants to connect with me, or you have something that you're going through or struggling with that you want to share with somebody. I'm a lot nicer in person than I am online. I promise you that. I am not a very harsh, brash person. But if you guys want to message me, you can email me at benjiuyama@gmail.com. That's it. It's not very exciting. Benjy with a Y, Uyama, Uyama @gmail.com. And I just want to put that out there if you guys want to reach out to me, because that's why I do it. It's just to help be helpful. So if something is helpful, I want to know it's helpful so that I can know who to make content for and what type of content to make for you guys. All right. But this one was straight from a dream from our ancestors, from God. I love you guys with all my heart. Hope you know that. And I will see you all in the next episode. Don't forget to share this with somebody on your team, your parent, sibling, bros, sisses, anyone in your life. Send it to your mother if you can. If you have her kakao, then you can send her a message and so she can see my face and be like, oh, that's that guy. I'm going to go meet that guy. No. I'll see your mother soon in Korea with a lot of you guys. Shout out to anyone that's going to Korea, by the way, for the blessing. I'll be seeing y'all there. Really proud of you guys for making it. If you're not getting blessed, cool. Good for you. Don't worry about it. I know there's like this weird pressure in the air for people to get blessed as soon as possible. Before April, get matched before April. And I just want to say my, you know, like, I think it's pretty unreasonable, unpopular here. It's unreasonable to assume that everybody is meant to get blessed at the same time. Does that make sense? I think it's reasonable that God has a hand at placing your match together at a reasonable time that is the right way for you guys, all right? In a God-centered way, in a spiritually entwined way. And I don't think it's everybody's destiny to get matched and blessed at the same time. That just seems a little far-fetched, right? So I'm saying that just to let you guys know that the time will come where you will find your match and you will be so grateful for this time that you were not matched. You'll be so happy for all the ups and downs that you went through in order to be where you will be someday, right? You will. That's all I can say. And have faith in that, have trust in that. And I love you guys with all my heart. Okay, this is just a comment on something I said about Denver, Colorado. I was rewatching the episode and then I realized how much I bashed Denver. And then I imagined a bunch of people from Denver messaging me or emailing me. I want to say, guys, I actually really love Denver. It's partly jealousy, honestly. And it's just like everyone's like, go to Denver. And then people are missing out on North Carolina. But it's also just fun. It's just fun for me. I have nothing against Denver. I think the church community is fantastic. I don't really like the area, like the Denver area. If I were to move to Colorado, I would move somewhere like an hour outside, like in the mountains where it's like real Colorado. That stuff is really awesome. But it's more just for fun to have contrarian viewpoint on stuff. So Las Vegas, I wouldn't move there, but if I did, I would probably actually move to Utah, which you can, like St. George, Utah, you can take a, you know, couple hour drive from Utah to Las Vegas. And I'd probably do that every Sunday or every few Sundays for church instead of living in Las Vegas, because Utah has some nice mountains and it's pretty nice over there. So I'm just saying that that's mostly for our American folks that are considering moving to those locations. But don't come to North Carolina. We don't want you. All right. Bye.